bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
So let's see how Jesus organized the people. Luke gives us a clearer picture of how Jesus organized the problem. Luke chapter 9, 14 and 15 says, "For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, 'Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. I like that. There were 5,000 men. About 5,000 men. The first thing you would know is that Jesus knew the full number of people present. Jesus knew exactly the full dimension of the problem he was dealing with. He knew the number of the people. It was not just a mass of people. It was a people with a fixed number. Being able to see the full extent of the problem is very important. In our part of the world, sometimes we estimate too much. You know, our ancestors, they didn't know how to count. So everything is about something. Everything is about, so even small things looks big. So, you know, when somebody goes to the farm and he sees a big plantain that has come with a bunch, he can't count it. He says, "Apim, 1,000. He can't count. So the thing, if he counts it, he just realizes about 50 or 60, but he calls it apim. It's 1,000. So it's a Ghanaian culture. You know, we estimate big. Oh, the thing, it's too big. Hey, this, hey, my brother, hey, this one, hey, you can't try, hey. It's big, oh. How much does it cost? Hey, it's expensive. It's expensive. How much? Hey, you can buy. Don't try. You can buy. Don't try." Jesus knew the people were not a million. They were 5,000. He put a number to the problem. If you're going to solve a problem, you have to number the problem. You have to know the full extent of what you are dealing with. Don't underestimate it and don't overestimate it. Don't call 60,000. 60 is 60. 1,000 is 1,000. 5,000 is 5,000. And I'm sure if some of us were there and we saw the 5,000 men, we'd say, hey, the people are many, about a million. But the moment you overestimate the problem, you take yourself out of the equations to solve it. Jesus knew the exact number. But he didn't just know the full extent of the problem. He went the second level and he rearranged the people. He did something very critical at this point. He broke down the large number into more manageable numbers. And the Bible says he made them sit down in groups of 50. That is very interesting. Jesus realized, if I leave the number looking 5,000, it will look like a mass before me. It will blow my mind. It will confuse me. But if I break it down into manageable groups of 50, then I can see the problem as solvable. Do you know when you break down a problem, it becomes easier? That is what the whole thing about mathematics is and algebra and everything. You break down a problem. It's a fixed problem and you break it down. And as you break it down, you have the solution. The challenge most of us have is that we never break down the problem. The problem is still very big. It looks impossible. And we're not able to find a sequential, systematic way of solving it. Jesus says, if I'm going to feed these people, it doesn't have to be mass. I have to break down the problem. Tell somebody next to you, break down the problem. You have to break down the problem. And he made them sit down in groups of 50. If we are working with our number of 5,000, it means there were 100 groups now. It's easier to deal with 100 groups than 5,000 people. Because all of a sudden, the problem is manageable. It's manageable. He rearranged the problem. He redefined it. He reworked it out. Then he did something very interesting. He sat everyone down. This is also very significant. Jesus contained the groups and settled them in fixed positions. At any point in time, he could have a snapshot of the problem he was working to solve. He made them sit down. He didn't make them stand. Because when people are standing, they move. So once Jesus puts you in this group, you stay in the group and you don't migrate to another group. So one, you don't say, oh, it's 15. Then you go and count, it's now 48 because two of them have moved to join that group. Everybody sat down. He fixed the problem. He contained the problems. He quarantined the problems and made sure the problems will not affect other areas of our lives. One of the problems all of us have, challenges all of us have, is that we let our problems migrate. Your problems walk. Your problems travel. So you find somebody who has a problem at home. Maybe a lady. Ladies, forgive me. He has a problem at home. The husband is giving her problems. And the children are giving her problems. That's a home problem. It's home. You have to make the problem sit down at home. But sometimes people don't make those problems sit down. The problem walks with them to the office. So she goes to the office and somebody comes to talk to her. Hey, don't worry me. Hey, don't give me any stress. Don't give me any stress. I'm stressed already. You're not stressed already. You just started work. But you have allowed one problem. Instead of sitting down, the problem is walking with you to your office. You know what you've done? You've created a home problem, and now you've created an office problem. Then you meet your friends, and your friends are talking, hey, my friend. So now the problem has walked to your friendship. Then it walks into other relationships. Before you realize something that started somewhere, you should have made to sit down in the place. It is walking all over in your life. Jesus says, you guys are not moving anywhere. Count them and let everybody sit down. Because when I solve one problem, I have to know I have solved that problem, and that problem is not migrating to another area to complicate matters for me. You have to quarantine the problem. You have to isolate them, and you don't have to let them move. Many of us, the problems we have in life, if we had stopped them, we would have solved them. But now the problem has affected everything. Some people's office problems go home. So they get home. The wife says, oh, hello, honey. How was it? No, don't honey me. Don't honey. What honey? What honey? This honey. I don't like it. I didn't even say I'm honey. Did I say I'm honey? And it's because there's an assignment, a deadline he didn't meet. And that problem is now working with him to his marriage. The children come, hey, daddy. Oh, yeah. Go and play with the dog. Go and play with the dog. So now you realize an office problem is affecting the home, and then before you realize, it has affected everything. Jesus understood that. And so he says, it's a large number, 5,000. Break them down to groups of 50. And when you break them down, tell everybody to sit down. People who are seated, don't move. Sit. When you go home, go and tell your problem, sit. You go to the office and somebody really annoys you, tell the problem, you are sitting in this office. You are not going home with me. Because when you get home, you smile and say, hey, it's great to be back home. Honey, it's good to see you. That doesn't mean you don't have problems, but you've made them sit. Because if you don't make them sit, they're going to follow you. Jesus sat everyone down. Now let's see how Jesus applied the resources he had. Now the people, the problem has been compartmentalized. It has been rearranged. And that's it. But the resources, still 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, still barley loaves, cheap. And still 5, low quantity, and still 2 fish. The fish doesn't even improve. So let's see how, what is he going to do with the resources he has? Matthew 14:19 says, then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. The first thing Jesus did is that he took the bread. Everybody say, he took it. That is what I call ownership. The loaves and fish didn't belong to Jesus, but he took it. He took it. He took ownership of it. Never, ever let go the things that God has put in your hand. Take it. It may be all that you have, but take it. Own it. Don't make it somebody else's problem. Take ownership of it. Take responsibility for it. Jesus took it. The second thing Jesus did, Jesus blessed it. That is celebration. He looked up to heaven, and that is very important. The Bible says Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed it. He looked up to heaven. He didn't look at the people. He didn't look at the people. He took his eyes off the people, off the problem, and started focusing on God. And then he began to bless it. He began to celebrate it. Philip says, what is this amongst many? He dismissed it. Jesus took the same thing and celebrated it. If you don't celebrate what you have, nobody will celebrate it for you. If you don't own your gifts, your ability, your resources, and thank God for them, nobody will value what you have. Yes, it may just be 10 cities or 20 cities or 100 cities or 1,000 cities, but thank God for it. Because there's somebody who doesn't have 10 cities. Don't look at what God has given to you and rubbish it. Sometimes people receive their salary and they rubbish it. Ah, what is this? You think I'm a chicken? Sometimes people look at, you know, the saddest thing is when you give somebody money and he despises it. You know, you see somebody say, oh, Charlie, can you help me? You give him 50 cedis. Ah, what is this? It's not yours. It wasn't yours. You were zero. This is 50. You didn't work for it. You didn't sweat for it. You didn't labor for it. Even if it's 5, you can't complain because it's not yours. Learn to celebrate what you have. Those who don't celebrate what they have are always comparing. Oh, I wish I had what somebody else. I wish it was 10,000. I wish. If this amount was 20,000, I would have been. It's not 20,000. It's 20. Oh, if I was like that, I would be happy. You are not like that. You are you. You have to take ownership of your life and celebrate your life and give glory to God and say, Lord, I thank you for blessing me with this 1,000 cedis. I thank you for this money in my account. I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, that you can do great things with it because you are able to multiply 5 loaves of bread to feed 5,000. I thank you, Lord, that you will do wonders with this thing that I have. Although it is small, you will do wonders with it. You have to learn to celebrate what you have. Then look at the next thing Jesus did after he celebrated it. The Bible says he broke it. He released it. He released it. He didn't hold on to it. Of what value is a resource if its greatness remains trapped within itself? Jesus broke it. Until you use it, you can't tell what it can do. John chapter 12 verse 24 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Use it. Start with it. Start with it. Start with it. It may not be enough. Start and see what God can do with it. And the fourth thing that Jesus did with it is he gave it service. Service. He took ownership. He celebrated it. He released it. And he served with it. If you take ownership, you celebrate, you release, and you serve with it. It may not be much, but start serving with it. Start using it. Start deploying it. And every day, water it with prayer and faith, and stand in faith, stand in anticipation to see what God is going to do. And when Jesus was doing all of this, nothing had happened. It was still 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Nothing had happened. The celebration didn't make it much. The breaking didn't make it much. The serving didn't make it much. It was only when it got into the hands of the disciples that the process of multiplication started. So as the resource changed hands, it changed in significance. In the hands of the boy, it was limited. It was just his meal, his lunch. Probably his mother gave him to go and eat at the crusade. In the hands of Jesus, it was celebrated. When Jesus took it, he put it into the hands of the Father. He blessed it. He gave it to God. In the hands of the Father, it was energized. If it's only in your hand, it will be limited. If you put it in Jesus' hands, you thank God for it, it will be celebrated. If you commit it to God, he will anoint it. He will energize it. He will empower it. The Father put it back into Jesus' hand, and at that time, it was released. The potential within it began to come out. Jesus broke it so that the power of God will flow out of it. In the hands of the disciples, it was multiplied. The multiplication only took place in the hands of the disciples. And in the hands of the people, it satisfied. In the hands of the people, it's satisfied. I don't know what you have in your hand today, but I believe God can do wonders with what you have. I believe this message is for somebody in particular who looks at what you have and there is a huge opportunity in front of you. It may be a business opportunity. It may be a big opportunity for you and your family. Maybe a land, maybe a house to buy, maybe a business investment. And the demand is so big, but your money is so small. And you're about to say, let it go. I can't do anything about it. It's too big. I don't have enough. Before you give up, give it some time. Just say, give me a week. Give me 2 weeks. And talk to God about it. Take that thing in your hand. Take ownership of it. Celebrate it. Begin to thank God for it. Put it into God's hands. And see what God will do with it. He will take that same little resource. And you'll be amazed. You will buy that property with 5,000 in your hands. They're quoting 500,000, but you buy it with 5,000 in your hands. You take a first step, and God is going to multiply the effect as you stand in faith and you buy that property. It will amaze you. Maybe all you have is a piece of land and 1,000, and you want to build a house, and you're waiting for the day you have 50,000 to start your housing project. Start with your 5 loaves and 2 fish and build that house. It will amaze you. In 2 years' time, you would have built a house of 150,000 and you started with just 1,000. Don't despise what you have. And don't just let it go and say, I can't do it. And don't just hold it in your hand thinking that it will multiply in your hand. It didn't multiply in the hands of Jesus, because if it multiplied, how is he going to hold it? It multiplied in the hands of the disciples. It is when he broke it into their hands that the multiplication started. If you want that money to increase, you say, well, God, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you. So you call the bank, Standard Chartered, have you checked my account? They said, no, it's still 565. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I believe, I believe. Then 2 days later, check the account again, check the account again. I'm expecting a miracle. This is 565. Now they may even be deducting something from it. It's not going to change in your account. It's when you release it. You buy your first cement and the first cement blocks and the first stones and the first tipper of sand. And when they tip the sand, just one trip, you just stand there and say, wow, God is doing great things in my life. I see a building. It's just one trip. If you are waiting for the house to be built before you believe God, it's not going to happen. But if you're going to start with your 5 loaves and your 2 fish, you will do amazing things for God. And next year by this time, you will come with a testimony and say, I had only 5 loaves, I had only 2 fish, and look what the Lord has done. I want to pray for you and come into agreement with you. I don't know what you have in your hand, but I want you to just stand on your feet, everybody. And I just want to come into agreement that God will touch what is in your hand. For that big idea that you have, just lift up one hand. And in that hand, you are holding what it is you are holding. It may be some little money, but there's 5,000 people out there. There's a huge project. And I come into agreement with you that God will bless your hands. And God will bless everything that you have in your hands. What you have in your hand, what you have in your account, what you have in your pocket, what you have in your wallet, what you have in that little safe, in that little investment. Father, this morning we lift up our 5 loaves to you and our 2 fish. And we say, Lord, that 5,000 will be fed through that. We thank you, Lord, although we are in a deserted place and it's late and there's no resource around us, you are more than enough. So we declare that our God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory. May the hands that are lifted up here buy lands, build houses, buy cars, possess inheritance, build businesses, pay school fees, scholarships. I release that in the name of Jesus. Whatever the need is, whatever the problem is, what you have in your hand is enough, and it will meet every need in Jesus' name. I declare from this day onwards and in the days coming that there will be days of multiplication and increase and abundance as you release what you have. May God release his power out of your life. And may you feed that problem and bring results to it in Jesus' name. And somebody say, I receive it. I receive it. Say, I receive it. I receive it. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't know what it was, what your 5,000 men are, but I'm going to ask everybody to shout. Don't shout now, but when you shout, say what it is that will be solved. If it is the house will be built, say the house will be built. The land will be bought. The business will be built. The fees will be paid. Whatever it is that is in your hand and the need that you want to apply it to, when I say begin to thank God and celebrate it, begin to declare it to be so, and it shall be so in your life. 1, 2, 3, declare it. Oh, say it, say it. That school fees will be paid. That house will be built. That car will be bought. that resource, that need will be met. That medical bill will be paid in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. There is no limitation. There is no limitation. There is no limitation. We give you praise, Lord. Now celebrate the goodness of the Lord, everybody. Thank God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we have more than enough. We have more than enough. We have more than enough. I have more than enough. And celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.